book of Revelations for yourself.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, March 13th, 2019, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio broadcast, coming to you live from the beautiful Streams in the Desert Live home studio via StarWorldWideNetworks.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is "The Winds of War Are Blowing Once Again as Israel Prepares for War." But before we get started, let us pray. Dear Lord God, we come humbly before your throne this day. Lord God, we bow down. We thank you for all that you've done. We ask, Lord, that the power and working and anointing of your Holy Spirit be with us today to do that which you have prepared and ordained for this hour. We just give you glory and honor and praise. Lord Jesus, I thank you for taking my place upon the cross of Calvary. We ask, Lord, that you would just take over and every word that be said and everything that be done today be done in the power, working, and anointing of your Holy Spirit. We love you, praise you, give you all the glory. And Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my place once again upon the cross of Calvary that I may have eternal life. Holy Spirit, have your way in this day. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, folks, greetings to you all once again from wherever you are in the world as you join me, your host, Pastor Dana, today for another compelling episode of Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast. As we open the show for today, I would just like to put you in remembrance of a few things before we get started. First, I am sure that many of you have heard it said that the next major war among Israel and her neighbors to the north will most likely be the one to set the stage for the soon appearing of the Antichrist. In Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 1 through 23, Ezekiel states, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I will turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine armies, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, of all of them handling swords. Persia, which is Iran, my friends, Ethiopia and Libya with them, all of them with shields and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah of the north quarters, and all of his bands, and my people with thee, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days, thou shalt be visited in the latter years." My friends, we are in the latter years. We're in the latter days. We're in the latter hours. We're at 11:59 and split seconds just before the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord God says, "Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people, in reference to Israel, my friends, against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars or gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan, which are located in Saudi Arabia, my friends, listen up. And the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day, which is a day that is shortly to come, my friends, when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shall thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against, the Lord says, my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Continuing on in Ezekiel chapter 39, verses 1 through 7, the Lord God further states, therefore thou, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles. My friends, the word isles here means desert lands. It can mean desert isle, and it can mean island out in the ocean. Here it means desert lands. And they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. So, my friends, just how does the war of Ezekiel begin? Well, one looming possibility is when what is spoken of in our first piece of the day is soon accomplished. It could very well be the spark that lights the fuse. This piece comes to us by way of the Washington Free Beacon, written by Adam Credo, dated February 27, 2019, and is titled, Congress Sees U.S. Recognition of Israeli Control Over Golan Heights as a Slam Dunk. Lawmakers renew bid to back Israel's full control of contested territory, of which Mr. Credo begins by stating, leading Republican senators are renewing efforts to formally recognize the contested Golan Heights region on Israel's northern border as officially part of the Jewish state, according to U.S. officials who described this effort to the Washington Free Beacon as a slam dunk. Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, and Representative Mike Gallagher, Republican of Wisconsin, introduced on Wednesday dual resolutions that would make America the first country to recognize Israeli control of the Golan Heights, contested territory captured by Israel from Syria in the 1960s. While the area has set in legal limbo, U.S. officials say it is critical the American government move to recognize Israel's total control of the territories in light of emerging threats from Iranian forces and terrorist entities situated on the Jewish state's northern border in Syria and Lebanon. Lawmakers undertook a similar effort in the last Congress, and officials familiar with the matter told the Free Beacon they see enough momentum on both sides of the aisle to pass a resolution affirming Israel's right to the territory. This is a slam dunk, one of the senior GOP congressional staffers involved in advancing the legislation told the Free Beacon. Everyone supports Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Republicans and Democrats in Congress say it should happen, all the way up to the Democratic leadership in the House. The Prime Minister of Israel called for it just a few weeks ago. Experts tell us it's necessary for the U.S. and Israel because of Iran's presence in Syria. The Golan Heights has emerged as a key piece of territory as militants spill out of Syria and begin to conduct strikes against Israel. In the past months, Iranian-backed forces operating on Israel's northern border have launched a series of terror strikes. While experts view as firm proof Israel should have control of the territory, the Israeli government agrees and it is said to have communicated this position to scores of lawmakers and officials in the Trump administration. Some might decry this as controversial, but the territory is not contested any longer, said Jonathan Shanter, vice president for research at the Foundation for Defense of Democracy. Syria is barely a country, he said. It's an insane notion that a mass murderer like Assad should take on more territory or be responsible for more lives. The U.S. for years tried to bring Syria and Israel together for a peace plan that hinged on the Golan. Imagine, he says, if that had succeeded. Today, the civil war in Syria would be threatening Israel in ways that are currently unthinkable. The issue of the Golan Heights is certain to top the agenda as the Trump administration conducts shuttle diplomacy aimed at linking an Israeli-Palestinian peace plan. The administration is expected to present its own framework for peace in the coming months, but few details of the plan have yet to emerge publicly. They do plan on bringing that peace plan out, my friends, after the April 9th, 2019 elections in Israel for the new prime minister, of which we do pray and hope that Bibi or Benjamin Netanyahu will once again be graced with for the safety of the Jewish people. For the name Netanyahu, my friends, means gift from God. And what comes after him will not be a gift from God, but straight from the pits of hell. The congressional resolution recognizing Israel's right to control the Golan Heights is likely to send a clear message to the administration that Congress desires this to be a benchmark in any peace plan. The resolution makes clear that the United States believes Israeli control of the Golan Heights is a key national security interest to both countries. It is in the United States' national security interest to ensure that Israel retains control of the Golan Heights and that the Syrian regime of Bashar al-Assad faces diplomatic and geopolitical consequences for its killing of civilians, the ethnic cleansing of Arab Sunnis, and the use of weapons of mass destruction, the resolution states. Last year, Cruz and Cotton introduced what sources describe as a weaker version of this resolution, prompting U.S. and Israeli leaders to throw their support behind the effort. Leading Democrats in the House endorsed the effort, lending bipartisan credibility that is expected to carry over into this session of Congress. A State Department official would not comment on the legislation, saying it is standard protocol to avoid discussing pending legislation. And on that very ominous and at the same time very eye-opening note, concerning the work just shared by Mr. Adam Credo, my friends, I will be right back after the break so that we may continue our quest for prophetic knowledge concerning the winds of war that are blowing once again as Israel prepares for war.
Shall stand. The battle belongs to the Lord.
We'll be right back.
now that we know the intentions of both America and Israel to make known the world over that Israel is the rightful and legitimate keeper of the Golan Heights, of which is a mere 1 hour and 30 minute drive, or shall we say 68 short miles away from by way of Route 77 from the Valley of Megiddo, my friends, where the Battle of Armageddon will be fought. We need to begin to understand what will come next when America recognizes Israel publicly as, there again, the keeper of the Golan Heights. In doing so, I now bring to you this piece written by Mr. Michael Snyder, author and editor of the economiccollapseblog.com, titled Damascus to Become a Ruinous Heap, Syria Threatens to Attack the Golan Heights, and Israel Prepares for War. Of which Mr. Snyder begins thusly by stating, the winds of war are blowing once again, and it isn't going to take much to spark a major conflict in the Middle East. This week is the 8th anniversary of the beginning of the civil war in Syria, of which my friends began on March 15th, 2011. And after the nightmare that the people of Syria have been through, says Mr. Snyder, you would think that the Assad regime would be eager for peace. But instead, Assad appears to be ready to go for broke. Mr. Snyder goes on to say, if Syria can spark a Middle East war that results in the complete destruction of Israel, Assad would be remembered as a hero in the Islamic world forever, instead of a legacy of civil war and crushing poverty. Assad's legacy would be one of wartime leader that brought total victory over Syria's most hated enemy. Mr. Snyder as well says that, but of course, such a conflict would be a huge risk, because if it went badly, the city of Damascus would be completely flattened, and the nation of Syria, as we know it today, would be entirely destroyed. And considering how overwhelmingly powerful, he says, the Israeli military is, it would seem to be a very foolish risk to take. Unfortunately, says Mr. Snyder, Assad doesn't appear to be thinking rationally. Mr. Snyder continues by stating that on Thursday, Syria officially threatened to, listen up, my friends, attack Israel unless it withdraws from the Golan Heights. He then states the following comes from the Jerusalem Post. Syria vowed to attack Israel unless it withdraws from the Golan Heights, World Israel News reported on Thursday. Syrian Deputy Foreign Minister Fazal Minkdad submitted an official warning to the head of the United Nations Truce Supervision Organization, or UNSO, Christian Lund, in what seemed to be an attempt to prevent official U.S. recognition of Israeli sovereignty in the Golan. Mr. Snyder then says, of which I agree with, biblically speaking, my friends, of course, Israel is never going to leave the Golan Heights. He then states, we all know how Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu feels, and on Monday, his main opposition in the upcoming election expressed similar sentiments. Blue and White Party politician Gabi Ashkenazi and Yair Lapid, Benny Gantz, and Moshe Yaalon visited the Golan Heights on Monday and vowed never to give it up. Quote, we will increase the numbers of residents in the Golan, sending a resounding message to all. We will never relinquish the Golan Heights, Gantz said. At this point, Mr. Snyder interjects, let us hope that Syria is bluffing, because if Syria attacks the Golan Heights, it will start a war. And it is a war that Syria could not possibly hope to win on their own. But, he says, Assad doesn't plan to take on Israel by himself. Mr. Snyder then states, over the last several months, Israel has repeatedly attacked Iranian forces inside Syria. He says the Iranians have been fighting on Assad's side in the Syrian civil war, and the Israelis are afraid that when everything is all said and done, that the nation of Syria will end up being totally, listen up, my friends, will be totally dominated by Iran. Mr. Snyder then states that the following comes from Haaretz, of which is an online Israeli news outlet. For Iran, its domination of Syria is key to achieving its long-standing dream of a Shiite crescent extending through Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon to the Mediterranean, and of course, establishing a permanent ground, air, and naval presence on Israel's border. Iran's ability to do so has been impeded to date only by the small and dwindling U.S. force in eastern Syria and hundreds of Israeli airstrikes that have so far successfully thwarted Iran's efforts. Although Israel has become a powerful and essentially secure state capable of demonstrating restraint in the face of many challenges it faces, this would constitute a dire and unacceptable change in the balance of power, one that Israel cannot tolerate and must prevent, even at the expense of war. Mr. Snyder continues by stating the Iranians have stated that they are no longer going to tolerate Israeli airstrikes, and their military leadership is fully ready to go to war. If war does erupt between Israel and Syria, it seems very unlikely that Iran would stay out of it. And without a doubt, Iranian targets would be among the first to get hit in a war between Israel and Syria. And the Netanyahu administration has been very clear that Israel is preparing for war with Iran. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu startled Iranians and even the White House on Wednesday with a strident call for Israeli Arab action against the government in Tehran. That was translated by his office as urging war with Iran. Although Israeli officials tried to soften the reference by altering the English translation, the provocative comment was likely to further the precipitation that Israel, its Gulf Arab neighbors, and the United States are interested in using military action to topple the government of Iran. My friends, here is my note on this matter right here. And in doing so, in toppling the government of Iran, in doing so, my friends, we just may soon see the crown prince of Iran return to his country as a modern-day Iranian, or shall we say Persian, King Cyrus, who will for a time be a liberator of the Iranian people and a friend for a period of time to both the Jews and America in the rebuilding of the Third Temple in Jerusalem, as the Lord God, my friends, has laid out to me over the years, and that from time to time I have as well shared with all of you here on the broadcast as food for spiritual thought. Only God knows for sure and time will tell. In addition, Mr. Snyder moves to finish his thought concerning the toppling of the government of Iran when he states that it comes at a particularly delicate moment as the Trump administration uses a U.S.-organized summit in Warsaw and this week's 40th anniversary of the Iranian Revolution in regards, my friends, to the overthrowing and casting out of the king of Iran, of which, my friends, took place beginning February 1st, 1979. To try to rally, says Mr. Snyder, the world against the government of Tehran. Mr. Snyder ends his piece by sharing that such a war would be incredibly bloody, and the moment that missiles began to fall on Tel Aviv, the Israelis would not hesitate to use nukes on Damascus and Tehran. And to that, my friends, I would have to agree with very highly. And it is most likely where the, biblically speaking, Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1, action would be fulfilled, of which states the burden or prophecy of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. Those are the words of God, my friends, and they are on the way at the appointed time. Mr. Snyder closes by simply stating, let us hope that cooler heads prevail. My friends, in our next short piece, we will see that Syria is dead serious about entering into a war with Israel. As we take a look at this piece, it becomes painfully clear that Syria, with help from Iran and others from the north, as mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39, is even at the doorstep. This piece, my friends, was written by the news desk at AMN, of which is a news source from the Arab world, dated March 10th, 2019, and is titled, Syria is ready for war with Israel over Golan Heights region, Minkdad, of which the writer thereof begins by stating, Beirut, Lebanon, Syrian Deputy Foreign Minister Fazel Minkdad told the head of the United Nations Truce Division Organization, or Supervision Organization, UNSO, Christine Lund, this past week that Syria is prepared for a showdown with Israel over the Golan Heights region. Minkdad warned Lund that Syria will respond with force if Israel continues to attack the country, as well as if the U.S., listen up, my friends, recognizes Israel's sovereignty over the occupied Golan Heights. And in that statement, my friends, we can almost tell the timing of when this war will break out, because the fact is as soon as you hear that they recognize Israel as the sovereignty over the Golan Heights, look for, with maybe even in the first 24 hours, things to go south big time from the north. Syria will attack Israel, he says, if it does not leave the Golan Heights, Minkdad told Lund, as quoted by World Israel News. We will not hesitate to confront Israel, Minkdad said. We're also not scared away by Israel's supporters who are helping to perpetuate the occupation of the Golan, he added. Minkdad's comments were in response to a new bill that was presented by Republican Senators Ted Cruz and Tom Cotton, along with Republican Party Representative Mike Gallagher, in regards to the U.S. recognition of Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights region. The bill has already received preliminary support from the leader of the majority in the House of Representatives of the U.S. Congress, Democrat Congressman Steny Hoyer. Now, my friends, in our next piece, we will be looking at just why Iran, Russia, and others will be propelled in the soon coming war with Israel to come down from the north to take a spoil, as the Word of God states that they intend to do, my friends, and is found in a piece dated July 28th, 2016, yes, 2016, my friends, titled Huge Oil Discovery on the Golan Heights, of which the writer thereof begins in this fashion by asking the question, what could make the Golan Heights even more vulnerable to or valuable to Israel? How about the discovery of a huge oil deposit? The Russian Times, or RT, and many other sources report that Israel has indeed discovered a major deposit of oil on the Golan Heights. As a nation, Israel consumes 270,000 barrels of oil per day, with up to three quarters of it imported from the semi-autonomous Kurdish area of Iraq, the article said, citing the Financial Times. The newly discovered deposit has the potential to produce billions of barrels. The writer then states that the Russian Times goes on to note the magnitude of the find. Quote, we are talking about a stratum which is 350 meters thick, and what is important is the thickness and the porosity. On average, in the world, strata are 20 to 30 meters thick. So this is 10 times as large as that. So we are talking about significant quantities. The important thing is to know the oil is in the rock, and that's what we now know. Israel business website Globes quotes Yuval Bartov, chief geologist of AFEC Oil and Gas, as saying, AFEC is a subsidiary of the America's Genie Energy Corporation. The article also observes the reported discovery coincides with the civil war raging in Syria. Israel has been accused of taking advantage of the conflict. The Israeli-occupied Golan Heights also borders Syrian territory controlled by anti-government rebels. Israel has reportedly provided medical aid to the rebels and has responded to rocket fire from the rebel-controlled territory by striking Syrian army positions. Israel's explanation has been that it holds the Syrian military responsible for all events stemming from its territory. Next, the AMN writer touches on the question of coming for a spoil. When they say this discovery might explain why Russia is making such a strong play to prop up the Assad regime in Syria. It also may explain why Netanyahu is lobbying the U.S. to support its bid to annex the Golan Heights in view of the failed state of Syria. It appears that the prophetic scenario in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is beginning to take shape as Russia moves more military assets into and close to Syria. As Ezekiel predicts, Gog, Russia, the writer says, will invade Israel with its prime motivation to seize, spoil, and carry off plunder. Ezekiel 38:12. The entire world depends on, definitely qualifies as plunder. As the writer moves to close their piece, they state, as far as the exchange of land for peace, the discovery of an enormous deposit of oil on the Golan Heights clearly eliminates any possibility of Israel negotiating away the area in hopes of attaining peace with neighboring enemies. Aside from the national defense reasons, surely, the author says, the possession of oil and therefore economic security that will last well into the future will prevent such a foolish move. The writer ends this piece by pointing out that God has a way of preventing Israel from doing something that would contradict his holy prophetic agenda. Oil in the Golan Heights would certainly accomplish that. My friends, today we have taken a peek at what is on the agenda in the very near future. What's on the agenda in the very near future for Israel, and in the way of a soon coming war with the nations that lie just to the north of her. The Bible tells us that soon and very soon, the Lord Jesus Christ will return for all who are praying, ready, watching, and waiting for his imminent return. For they are those who belong to him at his appearing in what is called the rapture, of which, my friends, contrary to popular belief, comes way before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereas at that time he comes to set up his millennial kingdom by destroying Satan's Antichrist beast and false prophet, by casting them alive into the lake of fire, along with those who followed them and took the mark of the beast. And as I said, they will all be cast into the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone forevermore, and takes place at the end of the time known as the time of great tribulation, aka the time of Jacob's trouble or Israel's trouble, both of which take place in the second 3.5 years of the 7-year period of tribulation, my friends, of which the Lord God in his word states that those who belong to him belong to his one and only begotten Son, who is none other than the only hope and salvation of all mankind, that is, of all mankind that will call upon his name and ask him, whose name is Jesus Christ, to forgive them of their sins, are not subject to the outpouring of God's wrath during the time known as the time of great tribulation, and is the very reason that the Lord God has provided the taking place of the rapture that is unexpected by the unsaved world at large beforehand. My friends, in the illustration of the rapture, we find out just why your very eternal life depends upon you knowing God's word, knowing it well, and knowing it correctly for yourself. As I have stated many, many times here on the show, today is the day of salvation, my friends, and we must all be ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air at his unexpected to the world at large return in the rapture. My friends, what you are hearing today is something that you will be hard-pressed to hear almost anywhere upon the face of this planet at this late hour. Most so-called churches and so-called preachers are preaching a feel-good lie of prosperity mixed with all kinds of false teachings and pagan belief systems. And as for those who are eating it up like candy, they are the same who will, on the final day of God's judgment, hear the words, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity," for, my friends, of which of at which time they will be forever cast into the lake of fire, where the Antichrist beast and false prophet are, along with Satan, his evil angels and demons, and all who chose death instead of eternal life, that was only made possible by way of the shedding of the Lord Jesus Christ's precious and holy blood for the covering and remission of the sins of all mankind upon the cross of Calvary. My friends, if you are planning on making eternal life and not eternal torment in the flames of the lake of fire, your eternity, you need to get saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and begin a personal relationship with him in the here and now. Because if you do not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ at his return in the rapture, you will be forever doomed to take the mark of the beast and reside at the end of all things in the lake of fire for all eternity. For those of you who can hear the small, still voice of the Lord God's Holy Spirit calling you into a relationship with the one and only true and living God's one and only begotten Son, who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, this is how you enter in. And it is by doing just what the Word of God states, and as is seen in places such as John 3:16, where the Lord Jesus Christ is himself speaking and states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him," who is Jesus Christ, my friends, "might be saved. He that believeth on him," who is Jesus Christ, my friends, "is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And continues on with Jesus speaking in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, where he begins by stating, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me," Jesus said. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I," Jesus said, "would have told you. I," Jesus said, "go to prepare a place for you. And if I," Jesus said, "go and prepare a place for you, I," Jesus said, "will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am," Jesus said, "there ye may be also. And whither I go," Jesus said, "ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way," which means method, my friends. The word way means method, "the truth, and the life. No man," Jesus said, "comes unto the Father but by me." And for that very reason, Jesus as well gives this invitation to all who will come, and is found in Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 through 22, where Jesus begins by stating, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door of your heart," my friends, Jesus said, "I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Jesus said, "To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne." The word throne is being translated power. The Lord Jesus is saying, "I will grant to sit with me in my power, even as I," Jesus said, "also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne," or power, my friends. Jesus said, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, Paul writes, "By way of the power, working and anointing of God's Holy Spirit, concerning God's plan of mankind's salvation or way of escape through the precious and holy shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ," my friends, it was only made possible by the work done by God's one and only begotten Son, who there again is Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. And this plan is not for just some of mankind, but all who plan on making heaven their eternal home, and is as follows, where Paul states that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, I like to say right living in Jesus Christ. And the word of God goes on to say, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, or your way of escape through the precious and holy shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God continues by saying, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, who is he? He's Jesus Christ, shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name is Jesus Christ. Last, but in no way least, my friends, for all who think that they can get away without believing in and living in this life for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God plainly states in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, that if you live this life your way and not God's way, you will be lost for all eternity. And here is why, as penned by John the Revelator. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My friends, the second death is to forever be cut off from God, from Jesus Christ, from the Holy Spirit, from heaven, from all that tried to tell you that you needed a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to have eternal life, and to be banished to the lake of fire for all eternity. That is what the second death is. So today, my friends, if the Lord is leading you by the prompting of his Holy Spirit to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your only way of escape, if you answer that call by asking the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, and you begin to know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly for yourself, and begin to seek the Lord God for the indwelling power, working, and anointing of his Holy Spirit by evidence of speaking with other tongues, my friends, and you stay connected to the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day, asking him to forgive you continuously for your sins, you will be ready, watching, and waiting as he breaks the eastern sky on the day, unexpectedly, but very soon, that he returns for those who are his at his appearing in the rapture. With that said, my friends, I would like to pray with you and for you. And today, if you would like to repeat this prayer from the depths of your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ will meet you at the point of your needs. He will begin to open the understanding of the Word of God to you by way of the Holy Spirit. And you, my friend, will be well on your way to being ready to be received up into the air with the Lord Jesus Christ at his return, to forever be with the Lord Jesus. With that said, let us pray. Please repeat this prayer with me, my friends, if you feel the prompting of God's Holy Spirit drawing you today into a personal relationship with his one and only begotten Son. Dear Lord God, we humbly come before your throne this day. We bow down, Lord God, and thank you for the wonderful gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, your one and only begotten Son, who is our Savior, if we will receive him. Lord Jesus, I come before your throne this day, spiritually speaking, and I bow down and I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would forgive me of my sins. I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and I know that you are the Savior of all mankind who will receive you. Lord Jesus, I ask this day that you would wash my sins completely away and take me forward through this life, communing with you each and every day in a personal relationship, that I would be ready, watching, waiting, and praying for your imminent return in the rapture that is soon to come. And Lord Jesus, I know that you are faithful and true to do that which your word has provided. And I know that today that you have received me into your eternal kingdom, your family, your eternal family, and soon into your eternal kingdom. And Holy Spirit, I ask that today you would have your way in my life to bring all things to my remembrance, that you would help me to know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly for myself, that I may be ready, watching, waiting, and praying for the imminent return of the Lord and only Savior of all mankind, who is Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you for receiving me into your family today and into the family of God. And Holy Spirit, continue with me for all eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. My friends, if you prayed that prayer today from the depths of your heart, you need to write this down as your spiritual birthday, because the Lord Jesus Christ will meet you at the point of your needs and you will begin to walk with him in a way that you've never seen before. And his word will come alive through the power of God's Holy Spirit. And you will be ready, watching, and waiting for his soon return. For we are at 11:59 and split seconds, just before the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that said, it's a wrap. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Until we meet again, shalom and blessings.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Star Worldwide Networks, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily found on the StarWorldwideNetworks.com Streams in the Desert landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?